Hey, you human. It's your host, Katie B, and welcome to this podcast where you can tune in to real conversations with real people about that one thing that unites us all, the human experience. Because it is through sharing our humanness, through seeing and being seen, that we will all walk each other home. All you came here to do is to be. And that's more than enough. Welcome home, you beautiful human. Okay, here we go. Hey, it's your host, Katie B, and welcome to the 50th episode of the Hey You Human podcast. It's pretty exciting because I don't really like to look at stats because I'm afraid to look. For the longest time, I haven't felt very confident about myself or my work and putting my work out in the world just behind my name and doing all of those big scary things has definitely been far outside the edges of what I've ever felt as comfortable. And so my delicate ego just couldn't stand to look. So it's pretty funny, actually. Every time I would go to upload an episode, the program I use that hosts the audio, it shows you a number count of how many people listen to each episode beside each one. And every time I go to log in to put the episode up, I put my hand over the screen at exactly the place that those numbers are, because I just haven't wanted to know. So I looked today and it was good. The trend was upward. So, you know, we're not hopping off any number one charts at the moment, but that's not the point. And that was great and interesting. I'm not sure why I decided to tell you that, but here we are. What a crazy few weeks it's been. If you're listening to this when it's released, I feel like I'm coming out into some sort of break after being in the swirly-whirly waters of life. And today's episode, what I really want to talk about kind of came to me a few days ago, and it came in pretty strong. And so I thought it would be important to do a full dive. And that is on meeting sadness and being sad. And I had this moment when it came to me, I was talking with someone about how it was almost like this righteous kind of anger or this understanding I came to in myself, where I realized that in the last few years, there was a great sadness that kind of came over me, and it seemed to commandeer my life. And it was pretty scary at times because I wondered if it would ever lift. I wondered if I would ever feel lightness again. And I think that sadness was certainly reflected in my work, and it wasn't invisible, that's for sure. But the more I thought about it, the more I kind of became very protective of that sadness and proud of my capacity to hold my sadness. And so many people in my life at that time couldn't meet me there. They couldn't hold my sadness. They wanted to change it. They wanted to make it different. They wanted to make me better, quote unquote, better. And when inevitably all of their attempts at support or attempts to pull me out of my sadness failed, because they never were going to succeed. It wasn't in the stars. I was supposed to be sad. I was meant to be sad. I needed to be sad. So when their attempts to pull me out failed, I got dropped by a lot of friends. I got ghosted by a lot of people that I thought were really close. And I understand. I understand that not everybody is ready to meet that level of sadness within themselves. And sadness scares a lot of people. There's a lot of shame in sadness. It makes people feel uncomfortable. And so as I was thinking about it, I looked back over my life and I looked back at myself as a child. And there was a lot of sadness there too. And I think the sadness came from two places or a few places. One of them being never feeling like I really belonged, feeling weird, feeling out of the norm, and not really having my needs attuned to, not really receiving the kind of love and affection that I needed, or the witnessing that I needed, the celebration that I needed, the encouragement, these sorts of things. And there was a lot of sadness in that. There is a shutting down we do, or that happens as children, when we're not seen in the way that we need to be seen. And it's no mistake of, you know, our parents. This is generational. This is passed down. And I think also, too, the sadness in me came ancestrally. It came from other lifetimes. And I think a big part of the sadness I felt also was the unexpressed sadness of the world and of the people around me. As a sensitive, highly sensitive child and being, I felt it all. And I didn't at that time know what it meant to determine or decipher between my sadness and the sadness of the world, or my sadness at what was going on in the world. I remember coming into the world, or coming into the awareness of myself, and wondering why people didn't understand that love was the answer, and why were people fighting, and why were there wars, and why was all this pain happening? It didn't need to happen. And you know, there's a sadness in that as a child, as you kind of look at this world that you're in, and you grieve for it. And that's a lot to hold, you know. It's a lot to hold for a little person. And so I think as I grew up, I started to push that down. And I remember watching a friend of mine when I was in about grade two, maybe. And she was crying, and these tears were pouring out of her eyes. And I remember wishing that I could have tears come out of my eyes, because the tears never came. And I think that that was already me shutting my sadness down without realizing it. And it only got more as I got older, as I morphed myself into the sensitive one that doesn't show her sensitivity as much. People knew I was sensitive, but I don't think they really saw the depths of my sadness. And, you know, as we don't express things, they only grow bigger and bigger. And so when my undoing started to happen in my late 20s, I think it started around 2018, I began to walk down the path of my first real dark night of the soul. And this began the breaking, the crumbling, the beginning of many potent death and rebirth cycles. And the more I broke, the more I stopped trying to hold it all together. Once I began to realize that I can't stop the breaking, I can't stop the crumbling, so I might as well let go and let it happen, because to fight it became too much. And so when the last round of death and rebirth came, and it was this very intense, what I now call dissension cycle, there was a period which I call the space between, where I really let myself be sad. And the sadness just washed over me. It consumed me. It became all of my experience. I was sad most of the time. And at the time, I didn't realize it, but looking back now, I can see that that sadness was sadness for what had happened in my life presently or currently at that time. But also it was sadness for all the times I couldn't really be as sad as I needed to be as a child. And as I mentioned before, it was so devastating to be at the depths of my sadness and to also witness and watch people just walk away because they couldn't hold it. And I didn't really see it at the time. To me, it just triggered abandonment stuff. But it made sense because most people don't let themselves sink down to that level of sadness. Our society doesn't let us sink down to that level of sadness. It is not in the Western culture to let ourselves be sad, to give ourselves room to be sad. Instead, we pump ourselves up with antidepressants and, you know, do drugs and drink and do whatever it is we need to do, work, shop, whatever, to prevent the descent into the sadness that the only thing it's asking for is to be felt. The only thing it needs is to be felt. And when we are depressed, as I believe it is Jim Carrey that said, it's that we need deep rest. And what happens in deep rest? We slow down. We sink down. We stop trying to be anywhere other than where we are. And we meet the truth of whatever it is that is in front of us right now. And for a lot of us, that's anger. And I think beneath that is sadness. And there's something so beautiful in developing a level of comfort and a deep relationship with sadness when we can make sadness our friend, when we can be with sadness without trying to run away from it. And I think the scary part of that is that so many of us have pushed our sadness off for so long that to be with it feels like a lot. And speaking as someone who let herself fall all the way down to the bottom of her sadness, and I'm sure there's more to come, there is a relief that comes when you become so intimate with sadness that you stop fearing it. And you stop fearing what people think of you when you're sad. A lot of times people look at me and they're really uncomfortable with the way I am and have been recently. There was someone who recently sent me over Instagram a message that said, you just gotta lighten up. You gotta be a little more joyful. You gotta do what brings you joy. And she wasn't wrong. But at the same time, there's no urgency within me to go hunt down joy because I'm still dancing with sadness. The songs are starting to play less and less, and I find myself dancing to joy more than I did before. But I'm not going to force the unfolding and the feeling of this sadness that has been asking to be felt since I was a child. It's more important to me to meet the truth that is within me than it is to make other people feel comfortable with how I am. And the gifts that I have gleaned from letting myself be sad and not making myself wrong for that or trying to force myself to be anything other than that are so plentiful. There's a peace I have with the emotion of sadness. And although I don't exactly skip to the doorway of sadness happily, I accept it as natural and normal and needed and good. It's good for the body. It's good for us to cry. It's good for our livers when we cry. It's one of the most cleansing things we can do for our liver is to cry. And it's true that in life, there's a lot that we can be sad about. There's a lot we can be happy about too. But it's okay if we go through periods of time where we're just sad. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think we can trust what our body needs to do and be and what we need to express. We can trust that. We don't need to orchestrate anything. I was pretty sad for a good 2 years and started to gradually shift out of that. But I needed to be sad for 2 years. So be it. There's nothing wrong with that. We run into trouble when we make ourselves wrong for what is only natural. The question is not how can we free people from their sadness? How can we fix people when they're sad? The question is, how can we help people be in their sadness? How can we make sadness just as okay as happiness and joy? You know, there's one thing about the New Age philosophy or whatever you want to call it that kind of grinds my gears, and it's the frequency chart. High frequency, low frequency. And I get it, and I'm sure it's true to some extent. But I think that when we make high frequency good and low frequency bad, we create a sort of shame baked into certain feelings or this urgency to get out of certain feelings. Oh, I can't be sad because then my life will implode upon me because I won't be at the right frequency to bring in this, that, or the other thing. It's like, this is life now. And if you're sad, that's truth. And I think that the frequency of truth supersedes all of the other frequencies. When we can be at peace, and they say that peace is the highest frequency, so if we can bring peace to sadness, if we can let ourselves be at peace because we accept ourselves in our sadness, we can be at peace when we have any emotion that spans the vast spectrum of human emotions. When we can experience those and not make ourselves wrong or not try to take ourselves out of them before we're ready, then I think we're cooking with gas. And, you know, if you need to be sad, and if you need to be sad for a long time, that's okay. Then you need to be sad because there's sadness to be felt. And it's not going to go anywhere by shoving joy down your throat. It's okay and natural if there are extended periods of time where we're sad. You know, the truth is that a lot of us are on this journey of coming home, and that resonates with a lot of people right now. Because I think it's true for a lot of people right now. We are seeking home. And when we are seeking home, inherent in that is the truth that we feel we are away from home. So maybe that means we're in a job that drains us. We're in a relationship that we chose from a place of not feeling very worthy of anything different. We're living in a place that our soul didn't choose, but maybe we were forced to be there, or our mind chose, or our ego chose, or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But what I'm getting at is that there can be a lot to be sad about. A lot of us grew up without our needs attuned to. A lot of us are sensitive souls, and we are living in one of the most intense times for humanity. So it's okay to be sad. And sometimes we need to run from sadness because we feel like we can't hold it all yet. And that's okay too. It'll leak out. It'll find its way. And so when the time feels right for you, if it ever feels right for you, or whatever your path is, to make room for sadness when you feel you have the capacity, to embrace sadness and feel what it feels like the next time sadness comes knocking, to let it in and sit with it, lay with it, cry with it. Let it stay as long as it needs to stay. It is not you that is backwards for being sad or depressed sometimes or all the time. It is our society that says that that's wrong. And when people haven't sat with something in themselves because they've been too afraid, they will do their best to try and change you and get you out of that emotion because they are not comfortable in your presence because they haven't met that in themselves yet and they don't know what to do with it. So then we go into fixer mode. And sadness doesn't mean we are broken. It means we're working so, so well. If we're sad, then there's something to be sad about. And maybe we just need to let ourselves be sad about that thing. We can take pills and do all the things, but when all of that stops and we close our eyes at the end of the day, it's still going to be there. So we might as well welcome it in. For me, sadness has really become, and my relationship with sadness has become what now feels like a bit of a superpower, because I feel very comfortable when people are sad. I don't try to change their sadness. I just witness them in their sadness. I be sad with them. And that in itself is a beautiful release. Feeling like we have the room to be sad with each other. It's really hard to, I've had a hard time crying in front of other people because I don't want to make them uncomfortable. And it's true that most people are uncomfortable. But I hope that over time we can learn to accept each other for whatever emotions we're feeling and just let each other have them. As long as we're not hurting anybody. That's the caveat. So, as a bit of a sadness expert, self-proclaimed sadness wizard, doula of the dark night, how do we meet sadness? Oh, I do not like labels. That just grinded my gears in the wrong way. As someone who is comfortable with sadness, I can tell you that one of the best ways you can be with sadness is to see what it feels like, to soften into it the next time it comes and just let it take up as much space as it needs for as long as it needs. Because sadness is a bit of a lingering emotion. It's not like anger where it's a burst and then it's free. Sadness operates on a bit of a lower, subtler note where it needs time and space to unfold. So next time it comes, can you just let it be there? Can you give it a long runway? And It helps if there's someone to hug, an animal, a person. But if you're alone, which sometimes is when sadness really hits, one thing that I found really lovely is if you curl yourself up in a ball and you sit down somewhere, curl up in a ball, wrap your arms around your knees, so bring your knees up into your chest if you can, and just rock yourself back and forth. Or if you can't do that, I can't do that now because my hip broke, so the curling up into the ball is a bit hindered at the moment, but even just sitting down somewhere, wrapping your arms around yourself and rocking yourself back and forth as you would a baby or a young child, meeting yourself as you wish you would have been met as a child when you felt sad. I think sadness is kind of beautiful. And I think there's a lot we can learn from letting ourselves be sad. And the next time sadness comes knocking, put on a pot of tea and invite it in, and see what happens in your life once you just let it be there for a while, as long as it needs to be. Okay, I think that's it for today. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. I really appreciate you being here and listening. I know how many of you are now. I looked at the numbers. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And it means the world to me. If you like this episode, you think it might help somebody else, if you share it with a friend, it will help it to grow. Or, of course, as always, you can leave a written review and a rating over at Apple Podcasts. It just helps me to, as you might have heard me say many times, grow this thing and bring it into more of the hearts and ears of those who might need to hear it. Okay, I'll catch you in the next one.